What's up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Yankees, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You can listen and follow for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, and you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. I'm your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus, and I run their local Yankee site, BP Bronx. I've been a Yankee fan pretty much since birth, and I have another confession to make. Yesterday, I told you all that I have never watched The Sandlot. Today, I'm telling you that I've never watched Major League 2. And there's a reason for it. I am diametrically opposed to movie sequels. Now, I know you might be thinking, but what about movies like the Star Wars trilogies? Those don't count. Neither does The Godfather, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and movies like those who actually have a need for sequels to complete the story. But films like Major League 2 and 3 are just unnecessary, in my humble opinion. So what's coming up on the show today? Well, we will preview this series against Baltimore, the worst team in baseball. We'll look ahead to the Yankees' remaining schedule. And I'm going to keep segment 3 a secret. You'll have to keep listening to find out what I'm talking about. So first up, the Baltimore Orioles have surpassed the 90-loss plateau. They are 2-10 in their last 12 games, which includes a 16-5 thrashing by the Mets and a 4-game sweep at home by the Red Sox. The bottom line is the Orioles are not good, and the Yankees shouldn't lose to them, but somehow they find ways to do it. Now, this weekend's series is a 4-game set with a doubleheader on Saturday. The added 105 game is a makeup game for a rainout back on June 3rd. So the pitching matchups that we know of are Friday nights, Saturday afternoons, and Sunday nights. There was a report that Sonny Gray would be starting the second game of the doubleheader, but it's not listed officially anywhere, so the Saturday night game is still up in the air for both teams. On Friday night, CeCe Sabathia is making his return to the rotation following a DL stint. His bulky knee was bothering him again, and I feel him on that. I've been dealing with knee problems since I'm a teenager. Sabathia will be matched up against Alex Cobb, who is 4-15 with a 5.09 ERA. Sabathia is coming into this game with a 7-4 record and a 3.32 ERA. Cobb had a really great start his last time on the mound. He held Cleveland to 2 runs and pitched a complete game, and the Orioles won 4-2. Sabathia's last outing was back on August 12th. Against the Rangers. He went 6 innings, gave up 1 hit, didn't give up a run, walked 3, and struck out 6. Now, Saturday afternoon's game pits J.A. Happ against a pitcher named TBD. I'm just kidding. The Orioles haven't decided who's pitching on Saturday in either game, and Happ has not lost a game since coming over to the Yankees. So now he'll lose because I said that. On Sunday night, Luis Severino will be looking for win number 17 on the season, and he'll be matched up against Dylan Bundy. Severino has hit some sort of a wall, and he hasn't been able to climb over it, so to speak. Now, his last outing produced a win against Toronto, but he had 100 pitches after 6 innings, and that's becoming a problem for him recently. On August 3rd against the Red Sox, he threw 115 pitches in only 5 2/3. He seems to be having issues getting people out as efficiently as he did earlier this season. And in his last 4 starts, he's allowed 4 home runs, which includes 2 given up against the Mets on August 13th. Even worse than that, Dylan Bundy's last 3 outings have not been good. He's given up 7 runs in each of them, and his longest outing in those starts was on August 15th when he went 5 1/3. In that 16-5 drubbing by the Mets. His last start against the Yankees was on July 11th when he gave up 5 runs in 4 innings, and the Yankees went on to win the game 9-0. The Orioles are 8-16 when Bundy pitches, and he is 7-12 with a 5.31 ERA. Now, switching to the Yankees' offense, heading into tonight's game, the only player who's faced Cobb more than 25 times is Brett Gardner, and he's batting .276 against him. The other probable starters haven't faced Cobb much. Austin Romine is batting .111 in 9 at-bats, and Giancarlo Stanton is batting .125 in 8 at-bats. So the Yankees are 6-6 against Baltimore this season, while Boston is 14-2 against them. That is quite a difference. The Yankees can improve their season numbers against the Orioles if they can win the next 2 series against them. They will meet for the last time in Yankee Stadium September 21st through the 23rd, and it's a 3-game set. So we'll get into the Yankees' schedule next. But first, so after this 4-game series with the Orioles, the Yankees will be coming home for 7 games. 3 against the White Sox, 4 against Detroit. Then they'll go out west to face the A's for 3 and the Mariners for 3 before heading to Minnesota for 3 more games. After an off day on September 13th, they'll be home for series against Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Orioles before going back on the road for their last 7 games. They're going to be playing 4 in Tampa, and they're closing out the season in Fenway with 3 games against the Sox. Now, so far against the White Sox, the Yankees are 3-0. They just swept them recently after they were swept away by Boston. The Yankees are 2-1 against Detroit. You remember that series? That was the series when Aaron Hicks hit an inside the park home run and a regular into the seats type of home run in the same game. The Yankees played Oakland earlier this season before they went on their current tear, and the Yankees won 2 out of 3. Now, this upcoming series against the A's will be a lot different. And who knows, by then the A's may be first place in the AL West by a few games and pulling away from Houston. Or they could be battling for the wild card. It'll be interesting to see what the A's are doing by the time the Yankees play them. The Yankees swept Seattle in 3 games earlier this season at the stadium. 2 of them were comeback wins, and 1 featured a walk-off by Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees are 4-0 against Minnesota because they're always beating Minnesota. I don't understand that. I really don't understand how the Yankees have had the Twins' number since 2002. There are no players remaining from 2002. And it's just, it's insane. And even that series, the Yankees won the first 3 games, and then they went into the 9th inning of the Sunday game, down 3-1 with Fernando Rodney on the mound. And then Gary Sanchez hit a 3-run walk-off home run against Rodney. Oh, right. Rodney isn't even with the Twins anymore. He is shooting arrows with the A's now. So that's another interesting aspect of that A's series. It will be something to see if the Yankees could hit off Rodney again. So when they return home after their off day on September 13th, they're playing 9 in-division games. So that's an important stretch, especially the 3 games against the Red Sox from September 18th to the 20th. I mean, it could be important to the Red Sox, who could be up by 20 games by then, and it won't matter. But we'll see. So after the last homestand of the season, the Yankees will be heading down to St. Petersburg, where they've had some trouble this season. And they've also had trouble against Tampa when they're not in Tropicana Field. They're 7-8 against the Rays, and they dropped 2 out of 3 at home to the Rays just last week. And finally, we have the Red Sox series in Fenway, the end of the regular season. I would prefer for the Red Sox to be out of reach from the Yankees that weekend, and I would prefer that the Yankees would be so far ahead in the wild card that even if they got swept three games, it wouldn't matter. Because I really don't want a situation where the Yankees are leading the wild card by one game and then the Red Sox play spoiler and sweep them. That just wouldn't be great. And I just put that out into the universe. And I shouldn't have done that. I need to take those words and put them back in my mouth. Forget I said anything. Just forget I said anything. Oh boy. Anyway, so the seven games that they're playing at home coming up against the White Sox and Detroit ends the run of playing teams under 500. So the schedule gets a little tougher in September, and they do have those series against the Blue Jays and Orioles. Although, like I said, they keep having trouble beating the Orioles, but hopefully they'll turn things around and the season series will be a little more lopsided in the Yankees' favor. That would be a nice thing. Because, like I said, they've crossed the 90-loss plateau. And so have the Royals. The Royals are almost as bad as the Orioles. Isn't that strange? I don't think there's been two teams in the same league to reach 90 losses this soon. I mean, this is really bad. It's so embarrassing that the Yankees have lost six games to the Orioles. And I know people are going to say, the Yankees have won 79 games. But the Orioles, I don't even think they've won 40 games yet. And six of those wins are against the Yankees. That's embarrassing. That's all I have to say about that. Up next, the mystery segment. But first, so there are some things happening around Major League Baseball. Yesterday, the news was that Matt Harvey was claimed on waivers by a team, and people didn't know which team it was. Well, we found out today that it's the Brewers. And a trade with the Reds at the time of the recording of this podcast needs to be finished in a half an hour, 12:30 p.m. Central Time. And I apologize for how late this podcast is. We had a cat emergency in the house. Actually, it's ongoing. So I'll let you guys know on Monday's podcast if everything went okay. Okay. I was talking about the A's. I completely forgot about this. Chris Davis, the Chris with a K, has taken over the Major League Baseball lead in home runs. He hit his 39th home run of the season yesterday. So he's now one ahead of J.D. Martinez. And he has 103 RBIs, which is six behind Martinez, who leads the majors. Over the past five games, Davis has hit five home runs. And he's 8-for-15 with those five home runs. And it was his 10th home run of the month, which ties him with Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves, who is also playing out of his mind for such a young kid. He's very poised for a young kid. It's amazing. He seems to own the Marlins and hit another home run against them. And then I believe he was hit by another pitch. There seemed to be a little bit of a beanball war going on between the two teams. On August 15th, Jose Urania, he hit Acuna with the first pitch of the game. And this was after he had hit two home runs the night before, including a leadoff home run. He had a streak of leadoff home runs that was ended by a hit by pitch. And the Marlins claimed that Urania did it on his own, that they didn't call for him to hit Acuna. So, yeah, that's a whole drama. But in Thursday night's game, Acuna was hit by a pitch in the sixth inning. he didn't leave the game with an injury, which is good. And let's see, NL Central. Cole Hamels is doing pretty well now that he's a member of the Cubs. He was supported by his offense, including Javi Baez, who hit a 481-foot home run. It's the longest at Wrigley this season. 481 feet. That's incredible. Like, that's really 481 feet. I mean, I know Aaron Judge hit a 495-foot home run last year, and I think Stanton hit one over 500 with Miami last season. But Javi Baez isn't built like those two guys. So him hitting a 481-foot home run is, I don't know, it's incredible to me. And as for Hamels, he's made 5 starts with the Cubs since coming over from the Rangers. He's only given up 3 earned runs over 34 innings, which works out to a 0.79 ERA. He is also 4-0 so far with the Cubs. And I remember when he was named as a person that was going to be traded at the trade deadline, and people were kind of iffy about it because he made 4 starts for the Rangers in July, and he gave up 21 earned runs over 17 innings. So he wasn't doing great. I don't know if it's an AL-NL thing, but maybe he's just more comfortable as a National League pitcher. Who knows? And another Cubs story that's kind of sad when you think about it. Poor Yu Darvish has just had an awful year. And he's been shut down for the season with elbow problems. And it's just been a disaster. He signed a 6-year, $126 million contract in February with the Cubs. He only made 8 starts this season, was 1-3 with a 4.95 ERA in those 8 starts, and he last pitched on May 20th. And he says that he doesn't think that the workload from last year's World Series affected him this season. And he didn't feel any pain after that start on May 20th. So that's just, I don't know, that's just sad. Because when Yu Darvish is on, he's a great pitcher to watch. So hopefully next season will go better for him. And lastly, even though I don't want to talk about positive things about the Red Sox, David Price is just rolling lately. The Red Sox beat the Indians 7-0 yesterday. They became the first major league team to win 90 games this season. And David Price looked good again. He's 5-0 with a 1.50 ERA over his last 7 starts. And he's 7-2 with a 2.87 ERA at home. So now Boston fans have nothing to complain about with regards to David Price, because he seems to have found a groove. I just can't get over how well the Red Sox are playing. It's crazy. And as for Price, he leads the American League with a 1.09 ERA since the All-Star break. He's only allowed 5 runs in 41 and a third innings. And that's over 6 starts. And Boston has won 16 of the last 18 starts Price has made. So I think he has battled through his issues and has become another cog in their engine that just won't quit. On that note, I'm going to quit. we've reached the end of the podcast. So thank you for listening. This is Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Stacey Gotsoulias, and you can follow me on Twitter at StaceGots, StaceGots. And once again, you can email us questions at LockedOnNYY@gmail.com, or you can tweet them to Locked On Yankees. We'll be back on Monday, and hopefully we'll be celebrating a Yankee series win. Enjoy your weekend, everyone.